Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on June 28th, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Film Forum. My name is Mike Maggiore. I do programming for Film Forum with Film Forum director Karen Cooper, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to the U.S. theatrical premiere of Kirsten Tan's Popeye. Kirsten was born and raised in Singapore. She lived in Thailand, where Popeye is set. She also lived in South Korea and New York City, where she studied filmmaking at NYU. She's made short films in each one of these places, and I think Popeye is kind of beautifully reflects this restless, peripatetic drive as embodied by a character who's going through a midlife crisis, but her film is about much, much more than that. Popeye is her feature film debut, and it won the World Cinema Screenwriting Prize at the Sundance Film Festival this past year. I just want to say we're really happy to have Kirsten with us tonight to take your questions after the film. Please stay for the Q&A. It's going to be moderated by Grady Hendrix. Grady is one of the, one of New York's foremost champions of Asian films. He's the co-founder and board president of Subway Cinema, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes Asian films, and also produces the New York Asian Film Festival, which starts this Friday. And now please welcome Kirsten Tan.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kirsten. Thank you so much for coming to the New York premiere. I mean, it means a lot to me to be screening at Film Forum. I was telling Mike that I used to study at NYU, so I'd come here, watch films, and I kind of feel like I grew up as a filmmaker watching films here, so now it means really a lot to me to have my film screen here, so I don't want to keep babbling, so I hope you guys will enjoy the film, and I'll see you during the Q&A. Thank you.
Once again, the director of Popeye, Kirsten Tan, and our moderator, Grady Hendrix.
So there's a lot to talk about with this movie, a lot of big themes and philosophical stuff, but I think I'm speaking for everyone in the room when I say what we need to know is, where did you get your elephant? were there elephant auditions?
Okay, so going into it, I kind of have no idea how to even start casting for an elephant. I mean, there's no like material online that would teach you how do you cast and direct an elephant. So a lot of it was just like, I guess, just meeting them and kind of like trying to vibe with them.
Okay, stop. Where do you meet an elephant? Like, so you go to bars?
I actually literally went to different elephant sanctuaries in Thailand. I went to Bangkok. I went to Ayutthaya. I went to Chiang Mai. Almost every single available one I went to, I think I saw close to 100 elephants.
You're really picky about your elephant.
I just wanted to make sure I got the right elephant.
And, but how did you know? How did you know when it was the right elephant?
So that's the hard part, and that's why I saw so many. But in the end, I actually went with the first elephant I saw. And he's... I mean, he just felt right, I guess. So a year before I started filming, I went to Thailand on a research trip to kind of know more about elephants. Because during the writing process, I figured out that what I saw on YouTube, what I watched on Animal Discovery Channel and everything just wasn't enough. Going to the zoo definitely wasn't enough to imbue me with the kind of knowledge that was required to write a story about an elephant. So then I went to Surin, is in the northeast of Thailand, to kind of live with this family of elephant handlers. And Bong was literally the first elephant I saw. And I remember it was like bright and early in the morning when I first saw him. Because, I mean, I arrived late at night, but it was when morning came, when the sun came up, I woke up and then like a stupid tourist, I just ran up to him. And I just distinctly remembered like the first moment where he kind of looked down on me. And I think I'll probably remember that image for the rest of my life, you know, where he just kind of looked down at me in this very kind, generous, like, what are you, human kind of way. And somehow that really struck me, and I could really feel his presence and the way he sounds, and that moment was something I really remembered. But I didn't go with him initially because I thought he was too handsome, I felt like he was too like movie star looking, and I didn't want to pick like the obvious choice. Like I didn't want to go for like the Brad Pitt of yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, no, sure. Offense to Brad Pitt, yeah, he's a great actor, but, you know, like I wanted something like more like, I guess, a bit more indie, a bit more real, a bit more raw. So then I went to, so when casting began about like maybe 3 or 4 months before the shoot, I really searched everywhere, but somehow like no elephant moved me the way Bong did. Mm. So then I went back to him again, and yeah, that's that.
Did you feel like Bong likes you?
I mean, I certainly felt so.
Is he like you're the Martin Scorsese of humans? Yeah.
I don't know, like, but I think the main reason I chose him because I felt like we had a good connection. But of course, all this could just be in my own head, mm-hmm. you know. But the way he looked at me and the way he flapped his ears, I just felt like that meant something and that we had something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so Bong has sort of a rapport with you. But then he's going to be spending a lot of screen time with your lead actor.
Right, right.
So
right.
How did you get the two of them used to each other?
Right, and that was really crucial, actually. Mm. Because, I mean, he's cute, intelligent, or whatever as he may be. He's, after all, still an animal, and it's really important for them to get to know each other before filming started. So I got them to live with each other, I think, for about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
At the sanctuary? Yeah.
At his home. I mean, okay. I'm not sure. I mean, he's the only elephant there. So, okay. Yeah. And they kind of just went for long walks together in the morning, in the evening. And I gave them, like, directing exercises. So I just kind of made them, like, literally, like, I made the actor kind of, like, touch him, hold him, so that he's kind of used to each other physically. And also I made them just do simple things with each other. And even like the different various walking styles in the film, I got them to rehearse. Mm-hmm. So initially, when they weren't so familiar with each other, like he would be pulling the elephant uncomfortably. Then at some point, the stage two of the walking process would be him using the umbrella, and the elephant would wrap his trunk around the umbrella, and they would walk together. And stage three was when they were just walking with each other in tandem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got them to rehearse all of that. And so I think by the end of that 2 weeks, they got to know each other, so that when filming started, it felt like, hey, they knew each other already. And
right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
What was your shooting schedule? How long was the shoot?
It was 30-ish days.
Okay.
It feels comfortable for an indie shoot, but it was actually super tight because like really half the time went to resetting the elephant.
Well, that's
what I
was going
to
ask.
Like, because like the ADs would be like, Kristen, we have to go. And I'm like, but it's not me, it's him. But of course, like no one. Yeah. Right.
Well, I was going to ask, because everyone says never work with children or animals, and you've got the biggest animal of all. So what was it, just getting him into the right place, or was he sometimes just not in the mood to shoot?
No, the great thing, I think Bong has a really, really good temperament. So for him, it was never really an issue. But it's just the conditions surrounding shooting of an elephant was challenging. Like in terms of the logistics, we had to clear with almost like every single government agency to be able to get him on set. And also he has really like strict shooting hours. Like we could only before the shoot started, me, the AD, the elephant handlers, we all got into a discussion and we determined that the best working condition for him is okay, nothing beyond 8 hours, mm-hmm. because he was our only elephant on set. So beyond the question of ethics, we had to treat him well as well. Mm-hmm. So so for him, nothing more than 8 hours on set, and he had a strict like hard out at 10 p.m. because he needs to sleep. Yeah, so then we were working within all these restrictions and making sure he was happy because
sure,
yeah, we don't want an unhappy elephant. That's,
no,
that
yeah,
would
right,
be bad.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's the biggest, got the biggest pull on set.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to talk about you for a minute, you're right. Born in Singapore.
Yes.
You went to film school at NYU at Tisch.
Yeah.
You live in Brooklyn now.
Yeah.
How'd you wind up making a Thai movie?
So there are gaps in between this narrative. So I was
sure.
In Singapore, then I went to Korea for a year. Mm-hmm. Then I went to live in Thailand for 2 years. Then I came to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, so then when time came for me to write a feature film, I kind of thought, okay, maybe I should do a feature film in Asia. And me being this like restless, wandering soul, like I wanted to do like a road movie. And of course, if you know anything about Singapore, it's just probably like you can walk like 3 hours and it's done, or maybe by car it's like an hour and it's done as well. Mm-hmm. So then the logical conclusion would be Thailand, and I went to And yeah, I went to Thailand in my very formative years, and I fell in love with so many aspects of life there.
So, yeah, can you talk about that? Because I don't think people here know, like, what took you to Thailand and what you did when you were there for those years.
I think I was both a very, I felt both very free and very lost in my early 20s. So then I thought that traveling the world would somehow soothe my restless spirit. It didn't. But then I think I saw a lot of the world as a result. And a lot of it just, a lot of the different stuff I saw just kind of stayed with me in my memory, in my mind, like the observations of Thai life, Thai culture.
And what were you doing to pay your rent when you were there for 2 years?
I didn't actually have to pay my rent.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I lived with friends and like, I mean, if you guys ever been to Thailand, you'd know that Thai people are like super chill. That, like, and totally, or at least my friends were completely non-capitalist. So they wouldn't even take like any money from me. So all I had to pay for was food, which was like pretty cheap. So I lasted like a really long time. And also then I had like a rock band, and then I sold t-shirts. So nothing too filmmakerish, but right. Somehow they all added to eventually like the ingredients I had to work with when I had to brainstorm for a story.
And so I heard, you could tell me this is wrong or not. I saw it on the internet, so it's probably a lie. But you lived in a woman's house who had been a film producer
in
Thailand.
Yes,
and now
that's
and it built the house herself.
Yes.
Which was sort of like this artist's colony or?
No, she was just, that's what I'm like so fascinated by. Because coming from Singapore, it's like, it's kind of like New York. It's super like metropolis-y. People don't build their own houses. But for her, she was just interested in architecture. So with her own hands, she attended or read up about building a house. And so with her own hands, she just put a house together brick by brick. And when I heard that, I was just like so blown away by that. Because it's like so simple, so basic, but at the same time, so impossible. And, mm-hmm. and she did it. She did it. Yeah.
Right. And so one thing I wanted to ask you is, well, first off, why you wanted to make a road trip movie? Why with an elephant? Like, what was there an image or a moment or something that sparked this one?
Yeah, when I was actually shooting a short film in Thailand, it was by the beach and it was called Sing. It's called Sing. It's literally about a sink in the sea. And as I was filming midway, I saw a group of boys kind of pulling an elephant to sea to shower him. And somehow that image has just stayed with me all through these years. Yeah, and so like, and that moment actually has resurfaced many different times when I was trying to write different stories, but somehow it didn't work in those stories until I decided, hey, why don't I do this road movie, and based off the feeling of this image, and I don't know, let me just backtrack and rewind a little sure. To that moment when I saw those boys playing. I remember the first feeling I felt was annoyance, you know, because like my filming had to stop, and being like a selfish filmmaker, I was like, okay, time. And yeah, but these boys were just having so much fun. And then the next emotion I felt when I saw them, strangely, was this feeling of loss, like because they just felt so happy doing something really, really simple and pure. And I knew that like as an adult, I almost can't go back to what they were feeling. Yeah, because it was just like pure, unbridled, innocent joy or something. Yeah, and so I always felt that feeling, and I think that feeling is the thing that propelled me to write Papai. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as abstract as that sounds. Yeah.
So making a movie with an elephant and a guy wandering the country having a midlife crisis with an elephant,
right.
I feel like I wouldn't be doing my job as a moderator if I didn't mention that this was also sort of the plot of a Bill Murray movie in the 90s called Larger Than Life, which is a terrible movie and a very sentimental movie, which yours is not.
Right,
and so
right.
Did you have rules for yourself? Because it'd be very easy. It's a guy and an animal. It'd be very easy to get sort of corny and sentimental. Did right. you have rules for yourself about how to avoid that cutesy animal thing?
Yeah, I think for me that was something that I was actively trying to avoid, because I know, okay, I have this old man, this elephant, I have the Asian pastoral landscape.
Yeah.
It's so easy to milk that sentimentality and to milk that Asian exoticness, which is something that I really did not want. So for me, it was just important that I guess I kept it as real as possible, that I tried to capture the elephant as authentically as I could without imbuing him with like human traits or whatever.
But yeah. But on a practical level, like, what is a shot you would not take of that elephant? Like, were you just like, I can't do that shot because it's too corny or it's too, you know, making him a cartoon character.
I think in sound design, like, okay, so I think the sound design was an area where a lot of the character almost was of the elephant, the color of his character was put in through sound design. So I remember, like, during moments of sound design, I was actually fighting, not fighting, but having, like, healthy arguments with my sound designer on it, because she wanted to throw in a ton of elephant sounds, like all these reactions. Uh-huh. And I was just really trying to pull her back. And I think at some point we found, like, this healthy level where we could show his character, but at the same time, it was important for me that he didn't just come off as being Disney cute.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want him to sound like he's talking.
No. And there's a lot of temptations to do that, because the producers would be pushing me. You want it to make it friendly and cute so the audience will love it. But I'm just like, like, I don't think I could, I could, yeah, face myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I.
So the last thing I want to ask you before we see if anyone else here has questions is the song they sing in the karaoke bar in the middle. What is the song, and what is the, like, why that
okay,
song?
Okay, for me, I love that song. That is the only real song in the film. Like, everything else was composed, but that was actually, I mean, a song written by, like a Thai musician in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love that song because tonally I felt like it fit the film really, really well. Like, the story, it's a real tragedy, but at the same time, there's so much lightness and humor to it. And I think the important, like, thing about me in this film tonally is that I always kind of match, like, dark moments with light moments, so that I guess the humor in some ways undercuts the sentimentality, so that whenever it seems to get too dark, then almost like flick a light on something to just change it up a little, so that it doesn't ever get too one directional.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like the song had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is it a well-known song in Thailand, or pretty obscure?
Not really. It's okay. Pretty obscure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let's take some questions from the audience. We have someone with a microphone over there. Who has a question? Because if you don't, I can keep going. There you go.
It is absolutely amazing, Kristen.
Thank you.
My question is, I love your protagonist. He and the elephant carried the whole thing. So talk to us about you having actors perform for you, please. Because that guy nailed it.
His name is Thanet, and he was actually like an ex-rock star in Thailand. Like, he was huge in the 70s. He's like, he literally brought progressive and indie rock into Thailand. Like, everyone in the music indie scene knows him. But suddenly, at the height of his fame, he completely dropped out. And so he, like, no one knew where he went for 30 years until I was casting for this film, and, like, a Thai friend suggested him to me. And when I saw him, I was quite shocked, because I Googled him before I met him, and he looked like this, like, guy with long hair, like this real rocker, kind of very Mick Jagger-esque. But when I met him, he seemed so restrained, like he found Buddhism and like, you know, he has short hair and he's like so nice and gentle. But somehow in that juxtaposition of what he is now and what he was then, I feel like he's someone who would understand, like, life, you know, who would have led, like, a really storied and colorful existence, would understand the ups, the downs, and kind of like the breath that life has to offer. So then I approached him and he was interested. And when we kind of turned on the camera, he was like a real natural, because I guess he's a performer, mm-hmm. yeah, by instinct. So so then he worked out. And in terms of working with the cast, this film was really difficult because everyone minus the wife is a non-professional. So then there was a lot of like acting workshops. And the frustrating thing is sometimes, like, the elephant would hit the marks better than the human actors. and so for me, like, that's a travesty. But at the same time, like, what can you do? Like, the elephant remembers better than humans. So
they're good at that. Well, let me ask you, what did you have to help him tone his performance down a little? Because as a stage performer, you'd think that he was, as a rock star, he might be broader than you want.
Right, but he's a rock star who also found Buddhism. Okay, kidding. No, I actually didn't have to bring it up. Bring it down. I actually had to bring it up at times.
Really?
Yeah, because he's. He likes to play for laughs sometimes. So then I would just have to tell them, like, no, this is not a funny scene. Just do it real. What happens if you're really, like, desperate to get to a place? Yeah, I think by, like, the first week of filming, we kind of understood, he understood my intentions, that I just wanted it real no matter what, and to not do, and to not think like a director, but to just be in the moment and to not really have too wide of a view of the picture, but to just believe what is happening to you right now at this moment.
Yeah,
yeah. I actually had to stop him from thinking a lot. Yeah.
Just before we take the next question, the guy who plays D, right? The he was fantastic. Was he an amateur as well?
Yes. He's really? Actually like a lift operator in real life.
Yeah,
but
he's
super interesting because he's very into poetry. So then for his audition, he came in and he just like stared into space and recited this poem. And I was like, whoa, this guy is like, he was just talking about like the stars and the flowers and something like that. But he was just so into it. And so I guess in the zone, and I think it, and he really believed everything he was saying, however slight it was. Mm-hmm. So then I feel like he was like perfect for the character of D.
Right.
Yeah. Almost like everything you saw of this actor is the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. The problem is he's one of those who doesn't hit his marks at all. Yeah. Cause he's like so in it, and he's just like, yeah, it's just not possible. But the thing is he creates like amazing moments with the elephant, because then they have all these like passing flowers to each other thing, which I didn't realize on the first take. But then they keep doing things with each other. I'm like, yeah. So I felt like he was one of the actors who really connected with the elephant also.
Right.
Yeah.
Another question for the audience. Yes, all the way in the back.
Hi. So you've like really lovely locations in your film. I was wondering what the location scouting process was like, or did you have these places in mind before you start shooting, or
no? I kind of had like certain locations in mind, so I prepared like visual references for my location scouts. But of course, like everything changed once we got there, and I guess a real difficulty in getting locations for this particular film is also that we had an elephant. So for example, like the house. Like, my location guy was so depressed because, like, he scouted for 3 months and could not find a single owner who would agree to have an elephant in the house. I mean, I guess with obvious...
That wasn't a set? That living room?
No, that was a real house.
Oh, my God. Those yeah. poor people.
Yeah, and so at the very end, we only managed to find a house. Okay, this is a bit of a horror story, but where like, the entire family was murdered in the house. Like, literally, like, I don't know what you call, like, a family side. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it took place in the house. And that's why no one wanted to buy the house. No one wanted to rent it. And then through, like, a friend of a friend, we found that house. And we spoke to the grandpa who still owns it. And it's like, yeah, do whatever you want with it. Yeah, but even then, it was painful filming inside there because we had to deconstruct the door so the elephant could fit in, mm-hmm. and then we had to reconstruct it back. So, yeah, so that was tough. And in terms of the other locations, we actually, like, okay, so the Bangkok part is easy, but the stuff on the trip, we actually shot around this town called Lae. It's also in the northeast of Thailand, and we tried to find locations that were kind of close to each other so that... logistically filming would be a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But somehow, like, the... Okay, so this is a bit complicated. But somehow, like, okay, so when we charted the film, we kind of made a mental stop of where each place they would be at, even if they weren't mentioned. So then when we were location scouting, we tried to match all of that. So then the journey would come off authentic to people, I guess, who knew Thailand.
Mm-hmm. So this all makes sense on a map, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah, very tough.
We have time for just one more question.
Okay, one more question from the audience.
I was unsure what exactly happened at the end.
Right,
with
right.
The elephant.
Okay, okay. So it's one of those things whereby I feel like you obviously you can have your own interpretation, and I have mine. So for me, I think so Tana kind of wakes up alone in the field, and he realizes the elephant is gone, and we see the elephant kind of walking up this mountain, and then he hears the voice of Tana calling out for him. And so for me at that very moment, I think that's the moment where the elephant kind of practices agency, decides that somehow the voice of Tana reminds him of mankind, reminds him of the city, reminds him of the trauma of the metropolis, And so then he decides to turn and to walk away. Now, what happens to the elephant after that? I don't know. Maybe he gets picked up by someone, brought to a sanctuary. Maybe he gets shot by poachers. I mean, I certainly don't want that. But from that moment on, it's kind of like the elephant chose freedom from men and he's off. And I feel like, yeah, that was... Right.
And all of a sudden, there was a shot.
A gunshot. Right.
He woke up, and I thought that he was going to find the elephant.
Right. Yes.
I thought you obviously put the shot in, and I didn't understand.
Right.
Yeah,
no, I think for me, the gunshot, that was a point where me and my sound designer talked a lot about as well. It's not really meant to be taken, I guess, literally. It's just like he's dreaming, and the shot to me just kind of represents, I guess, his own personal anxieties and trauma about being in the whole situation too. Yeah.
So I get the last question. I've got to know, have you seen Bong since the movie Wrapped?
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah? Has he seen the movie? Does he have any interest?
You know, the really cool thing is, like, for our Thai premiere, I think my Thai producers are actually going to organize a screening for Bong and some of his elephant pals. I mean, I don't know how Bong is actually even going to react to it. Maybe he's going to be a bit like, what the hell am I doing here? Or maybe it's going to be like a really metaphysical moment. I don't know. Yeah, but they're going to try to organize like an outdoor screening for him.
Q&As don't end better than that. Ladies and gentlemen, Kirsten.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.